bringing revival back, let me encourage you to get a pamphlet in the back. I don't do t-shirts and bracelets anymore. They just, you know, everybody's using COVID as an excuse, you know, and everything just got crazy high, so I couldn't afford to do it anymore. And so get a brochure. It will tell you about who I am, what I've been doing for the past four decades, and it has the bringing revival back theme on the back as well. And then especially if you don't get anything else, please get this. This is a Team BRB prayer card, a Team Bringing Revival Back BRB prayer card, and it has the vision on the back as well and the theme. So please get that. This is a prayer card. We want you, and I'm asking you to pray for me as I travel, as I preach, because I truly believe that America needs revival. Amen. Our country is getting messed up more and more as time goes on. I'm going to talk about that a little bit in my sermon. And so pray for me that God will just use me in a mighty, mighty way. God has just been doing some great things the past 10 years. And we have seen hundreds and hundreds saved, over 5,000 baptized in the Holy Ghost, according to Acts 2:4. And I give God all the praise. I give God all the glory. Amen. Praise God. Give the worship team another big God bless you. They did a tremendous job. Thank you, Emily. Praise God. And don't you love your pastors? While you're clapping, don't you love your pastors? Come on, don't you love your pastors? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm so glad you did that, because I went to one church and nobody clapped, nobody said amen, nobody said nothing. I thought, oh, we got a problem here. Come on. But we tried to have revival. Praise God. But we got through it. Amen. Open your Bibles quickly, please. I'm going to get into this as fast as I can to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. I will try to get you out by noon. Hopefully, you'll stay with me. It's like the pastor. It's like the guest speaker that went to a church one time, and he's talking to a pastor and said, "He said, brother, can I preach past 12 o'clock?" He said, "Yeah." He says, "We're going to leave, but you go right ahead and preach. Come on, somebody." So I hope you stay with me past 12. Amen. Matthew 12, 41 and 42. Matthew 12, 41 and 42. Reading from the King James Version. It says, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Now notice with me, if you will, the words in verse 42, the last part of 42, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." That's the title of my message is, "A Greater Than Solomon Is Here." Let's pray together right now. Father God, thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity to share your word. I ask, Father God, again tonight that you would, this morning, that you would just anoint me, your servant. Lord, hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Let every word be your word. Let every thought, God, be your thought. Let every action, Father God, be your action, in Jesus' name. And I ask for the anointing upon those who are here, that they will hear the word of God in fullness and in truth, and we can leave saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Those who are hurting, Jesus, those that may be hurting, those that came this morning needing a touch of God on their lives, I pray, God, that you would do that in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen. "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." In this passage of Scripture, Jesus is speaking to the scribes and to the Pharisees. And Jesus is comparing himself with two great men of the Old Testament that the scribes and the Pharisees were very well acquainted. First of all, he compared himself with that of Jonah. In verse 41, he says, "Behold, a greater than Jonah is here." Now, the scribes and the Pharisees, they knew the greatness of Jonah, how God used Jonah to enter into the great city of Nineveh. The city of Nineveh was about 64 miles in circumference, with walls that were 100 feet high, and the walls were wide enough that three chariots could ride on top of those walls. And within the city, there were 1,500 majestic towers, and also within that city were 120,000 people that needed to repent, 120,000 people that needed to repent. And Jonah 1:1, to describe the horrible activity in Nineveh at that time, Jonah 1:1 describes it, where it says, "The wickedness of the city arose up to heaven." When I was refreshing my memory of this passage and of this text, When I read that, my mind immediately went back to that of America. And I began to think about all the horrible things that are going on in America. And I'm thinking about how the wickedness of Nineveh arose up to heaven. And God saw that. And let me tell you something, church. God sees what's going on in America as well. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. What we see on the news and what we see that's going on in our world is absolutely getting more sickening as time goes on. Now, because of all the COVID and because of Ukraine and all that's going on right now, we're forgetting about that abortion is still at an all-time high, where we're aborting over 1.5 million babies every year in America. It's getting so disgusting and so out of control that now our Congress and government is absolutely entertaining the thought of passing a law where a woman has a choice after birth, up to 28 days after a child has been born, that mother has a choice to either let it live or let it die after 28 days. And if she chooses to get rid of the baby, they will just simply give the baby a shot and end its life. And let me tell you something, church. If this happens, we're on very thin ice. Listen to me. If this happens, we're on very thin ice. Abortion is still at an all-time high. AIDS is increasing at an incredible rate. You see, we're not hearing this on the news anymore. But AIDS is rising at an increasing and horrible rate. And now they're saying that by the end of 2023, if this continues the way it goes, by the end of 2023, 1 out of every 3 persons will have AIDS in America. I mean, now think about that. You go to Walmart or you go to the mall, you go to Battlefield Mall in Springfield, one every third person you cross is going to have AIDS. This is how bad it's getting. If you think about it, sexual perversion and pornography is completely out of control. Teen suicide is still the number 2 cause of death among teenagers. What's the number 1? Drugs. Along with the ever-increasing thoughts of trying to take God out of America. And now God is seeing all this. You see, God saw all the wickedness of Nineveh. But let me tell you something. God sees what's going on in America as well. Know how we need a massive revival in America. Oh, how we need for churches to wake up. And you see, revival, not only, you see, my friend, I want to tell you something. I live and I breathe revival. I was born for revival. My DNA is revival. Come on, somebody. I want to see revival in America so very, very badly. I live it, I breathe it, and I believe that God's going to do that in the mighty name of Jesus. Can you say amen? But now let me tell you something. Let me say this. Where sin abound, grace much more abounds. God is still alive and well. We don't have to wait 2 more weeks for Easter to shout that Jesus is alive. He's alive right now. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, our God, he is the risen. He is indeed the risen, glorious, all-powerful Savior, King Jesus. And there will never be another one like him. But now God is wanting to use Jonah and Nineveh to preach one message, repentance. One message, repentance. Hallelujah. But now Jonah, he's running from the call of God. So now he knows the plan of God that God's called him to do. So he goes down to Joppa, he pays his fare to get on a boat and go off to Tarsus. He's going to run from the call of God. He's going to run from it. But how many of you know you can't run from God? You can't run from the call of God. I mean, you'll try, but you cannot run from the call of God. But now here he's on the boat, and God causes a mighty wind to come across the sea, and the wind is blowing. The boat is being tossed around to and fro. The crew and the seamen, they're afraid, and they're wondering what's going on. And to make a long story short, Jonah told them, well, I'm the cause of this. I'm a Hebrew. I'm a God follower. God has a call of my life. This is the reason why the storm, and I'm running from God. That's why you're in the midst of this storm. And they begin to pray, what should we do? And they begin to throw things overboard, trying to row against the storm, and nothing was working. And Jonah said, the only way you're going to stop is to throw me overboard. That's the only way you're going to stop it. But they didn't want to do that. And so then after a while, they said, Lord, don't hold this against us, but we've got to do this or we're all going to perish. So they took Jonah and threw him overboard. And God caused let me tell you something. God is trying to get Jonah's attention here. So God created a big fish. Now, I did research on this, and one translation calls it a whale. One translation calls it a big fish. Another translation said a sea monster. Come on, somebody. Well, I don't believe that God creates any monster, so we'll call it a big fish. Come on, amen. But now, as we look at the, and I've had people debate me, and they will question me, Brother Carter, you actually believe that a fish is big enough to swallow a man? You better believe it. Watch this. The blue whale is over 200 tons. It's 30 times heavier than the African male elephant. 30 times heavier. It's the same length of a Boeing 747, over 100 feet long. That's over 30 yards, church. 90 men. Now I want to illustrate this. Pastor, hey, you three guys, come up here real quick. I want you to stand beside me real quick. Stand up here right beside me. Now, there's just, how many is that? Five of us? One, two, three, four. Five of us? Watch this. 90 men can stand on the tail of a blue whale. 90 men. And they're just fine. That's how big they are. Y'all can go sit down. Give them a big God bless you. They did good. Amen. The heart of a blue whale is the size of your car. And according to National Geographic, its mouth is large enough to swallow 121 tons of water in one gulp. Now, that's how big, and do you think it can swallow a man? Absolutely. And that's exactly what happened to Jonah. God created a huge fish and swallowed this man whole. Now, Jonah is in the fish. Now, can you imagine the stink? Can you imagine the darkness of being tossed around, floating around in the belly of a big fish? Come on. I just can't imagine. But I want to tell you something. No matter how low you get, God knows where you're at. He's always there. And he's as close as the mention of his name. Some people say, Brother Carter, when I pray, I feel like my prayers aren't getting past the ceiling. Well, they are. God's just waiting for you to just press right on through. No matter how low you get, God is right there to take care of you. How well I remember many years ago, I was pastoring in Southern Florida District, and the Lord laid it on my heart to schedule a revival in our church. And I began to pray, Lord, who do I call for this revival? Who do you want me to use as the guest speaker? And God laid it on my heart that he says, Terry, I want you to preach your own revival. And so I did that. And this revival was powerful. It lasted 7 consecutive weeks. It was a glorious revival. And it was about week 3 or 4 of that revival that I'm working the altars. And my youth pastor came up to me. He said, Brother Carter, he said, we got a problem. There's a guy in the back, and he tried to hit one of our ushers. He tried to hit him. I'm like, really? So I walked back to the back of the building, and this great big African-American guy, he's sitting there, bald-headed. He's sitting back on the back of his legs, leaned up against the wall. And I said, sir, do we have a problem? He looked up at me. His eyes were rolling. His lips were snarled, and he just looked at me, and he just began to growl. Don't touch me. And I knew immediately that this man was demon-possessed. And I turned around, and little did I know, when I walked back there, about 12 men came behind me. They had my back. Come on, somebody. So I turned to these men. I said, guys, this man is demon-possessed. Let's cast him out. Now, what I want to tell you, my friends, this, I'm making a long story, extremely short due to time. But let me tell you something. This is what I'm going to tell you. They don't prepare you for this in Bible college. Come on. When you're doing your thesis, there's not a course on demonology 101. They don't teach you this. And here's the thing about when you face demon possession. Either you're spiritually ready or you're not. Either you're prayed up or you're not. Now, some of you are shaking your head, but you have no idea what I'm talking about. When you're faced with it and when you're confronted with it, there's a powerful force there that you cannot imagine how strong it is. Until I was faced with it then, never been faced with it before, after that. But this man was trying to get up off of his legs. He was trying to come at me. He's trying to choke me. And, you know, you hear stories about how they say, what is your name? And come out and yada, yada. You know, the Lord didn't tell me to do all that. He told me, Keep him on the floor. Don't let him get up. And I'm saying, thank you, Jesus, because he's trying to choke me. Come on, somebody. I'm serious. And so he's trying to come at me. And I had my hands all over his bald head. There was three or four guys on one arm and shoulder, three or four guys on another arm and shoulder, three or four guys on his back. And my words to them were, keep him on the floor. Don't let him get up. That's what God said to me. And so this man would try to get up. He's trying to choke me. He's trying to come at me. He's trying to kill me. And these men are, I'm like, he's trying to get up. I'm like, keep him on the floor. Keep him on the floor. I'm making a story very, very short. This went on for an hour and a half. We're praying in the Holy Ghost. We're calling on the blood of Jesus. We're calling on the powerful name of Jesus. And after an hour and a half, I'm spiritually drained. Because I already preached now for an hour. Come on. Now, I've been an hour of preaching, now an hour and a half with this guy. And not counting the time of prayer with others before that even occurred. And on the third time he went down, I began to watch him write something on the floor. And I'm watching very closely. And I'm like, what is he writing? And it began to make sense. J-E-S-U-S. And I said, yes. I said, sir, say that name. Say that name. Say that name. I didn't say, what is your name? I said, say the name. And God kept saying, make him say my name. Demons won't say that name. But this man eventually said the name Jesus. And that big, probably 300-pound African-American came off that floor, born again and saved by the power of Almighty God, set free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What am I saying? No matter how low you get, no matter where you're at, Jesus knows where you're at. He knows who you are. You came to this service this morning and you're hurting. You're beat down. And maybe you came to the church service with the mentality, I've got to get something from God today. I've got to get something from the Lord today. Today's my day. Don't be discouraged. God can meet your needs. Amen. How well I remember many years ago when I was pastoring in Northern Missouri District. Back in those days, you could leave the church doors unlocked. You know, there wasn't any fear of somebody coming, some crazo coming in and shooting you and blowing your head off. You know, come on. But back in those days, you felt safe. So I'm in the office working with my wife. My wife is the church secretary. And we're working on something in the office. I don't remember if it was a weekly bulletin or something. We were doing something in the office. And just uninvited and unannounced, here comes a guy walking in the office wearing a long black leather trench coat, wearing black dingo boots, wearing a black leather hat, long black hair. Just a mystical, mystical look about him. Dark circles around both eyes. He walks in the office uninvited, unannounced. He said, are you the preacher? I started to say, no, she is. Come on, somebody. I said, yep, I'm the preacher. He said, I need to talk to you. I said, okay, come in my office. So we go to my office, and his first words were this. His first words, he said, I'm a Satanist priest. If you can't help me, nobody else can. And I begin to hear him tell stories. Now, as I look across this room, I'm seeing younger ears that don't need to hear what I'm about to say. So to make this a little bit more acceptable for a church family, I'm going to keep it very calm. Because he told me stories for the next 30 minutes that would absolutely make the hair on your head stand up. Horrible things happened as he was leading his group in seances and worshiping Satan. He told me how they would gather around Ouija boards. And church, let me tell you something. Beware of the devil's tools. If you have any of this junk in your room, in your houses, get rid of them. They're just tools of the devil. So that was, they would gather around Ouija boards and they would worship Satan. He told me how on this one occasion that this horrible, and I'm not going to get graphic here, was this demonic spirit manifested itself and it scared everyone so badly that it thrust him to the realization that he needed to get right with God. To make this story very short, he ended it by saying these words. I'm at the end of my rope. If you can't help me, nobody else can. And you know, Pastor, that was the first time. I had been in ministry for many years, but that was the first time I felt the term Holy Ghost boldness come to life. And I leaned up on the edge of my chair, and I looked that man straight in the eye, and I said, "Sir, I can't help you, but I know somebody who can. And his name is Jesus." Now, he had his turn. That was my turn. And for the next several moments, I began to talk to him about Jesus being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and how Jesus can set him free. And I want you to know that that Satanist priest left my office, amen, worshiping the great high priest, Jesus, born again by the power of Almighty God. What am I saying? I'm saying that doesn't matter. No matter where you're at, no matter who you are, no matter how low you get, Jesus knows who you are. He knows all about you. Amen. He knows who you are. He knows your passcodes. He knows where you live. He knows your phone number. Hey, he knows the number of hairs on your head that you used to have. Come on, somebody. Amen. He knows all about you. But now Jonah, he's still in the belly of the whale. He's still there. And after a 72-hour seafood diet, come on, sir. Amen. After an omega-3 seafood diet, glory to God, he begins to cry out and he begins to pray. Now, can't you imagine in the belly of this fish, 3 days, 3 nights, he's got to be thinking, the ministry can't be this bad. Come on, somebody, man. I think I will go preach. So in Jonah, he prays in Jonah chapter 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed. It doesn't matter where you're at, just pray. Pray in your kitchen, pray in your bedroom, pray in your bathroom, pray in your car. Listen, I do my best prayer meetings is when I'm in my car going to my next revival. I'm telling you, I can pray. Come on, somebody. When I'm driving, I love to pray. But inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, and said, "In my distress, I called the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." And when he prayed that prayer, and it goes on to say that the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now, can you imagine standing there in the midst of fish vomit? Come on, somebody. He's getting ready to go to Nineveh, and you got to read between the lines. He's not going to go to Nineveh covered in fish vomit. So he would have had to get in the water and clean himself out a little bit. But he goes to Nineveh and preaches one message, repentance. Oh, how America needs to hear the word repentance. And 120,000 people, the whole city repented. Man, I would love to go back to Springfield tomorrow morning. I would love to go to the district office. I would love to go to the national headquarters and say, guess what? Over the weekend, the entire city of Warsaw repented. Come on, somebody. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know? But in my Bible, it says that nothing's impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. I want to repeat that again, that nothing is impossible with God. When I was a kid growing up, my father was a carpenter. He was the best carpenter in the Tri-County area. Everybody knew that if you want a job done right, if you want somebody that's not going to stand around and smoke and cuss and tell jokes and drink, you hire Wes Carter because he will do a great job fast. But I can still hear my daddy as a kid growing up. I'm young. I'm just inexperienced. I'm trying to help him build houses and hotels, and I'm trying to hit that 16-penny nail, and I can hear him right now, "Don't bend that nail, boy. Don't bend that nail." And I'm going, "Come on, Dad, chill out. We have thousands of nails. Come on." But he was trying to teach me a lesson to be consistent in my work. Don't bend the nail. Hit the nail on the head, Terry. Hit the nail on the head. Church, I want to do it again. I want to hit the nail on the head again. That nothing is impossible with God. Come on, say it with me. Nothing is impossible. One more time. Nothing is impossible with God. No matter what you need. Finances, health, healing in your body, mentally. Maybe you need a new job. Maybe you need a new car. Nothing is impossible with God. So now Jonah, he's preaching, and the whole city gets saved. Praise God. But now, secondly, Jesus compared himself with that of Solomon. Never had there ever been a king like King Solomon. Solomon had all the knowledge and all the wealth that a man could ever desire. He was the richest king. He was the wisest king. He was the wealthiest king that Israel had ever had. And he would enter into a stately bedchamber with all the imported silks and the Persian rugs and all the grandeur and elegance because of all of his riches. And he was just, he lived in complete wealth all the time. And then think about Jesus. Jesus, and the Word of God tells us in Matthew 8:20 that the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. But Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. Now, can you understand the consternation of the scribes and the Pharisees at this time? They knew Solomon. They knew how great Solomon was and how powerful and rich this man was and all the splendor that he had. But now Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. And they're trying to figure all this out. But now as we continue to compare Jesus to Solomon, watch this. Solomon and Jesus both were anointed in oil. In 1 Kings 1:34, it says this, how Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anointed Solomon king over Israel. He was anointed king of Israel. But in Acts 10:38, it says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, praise God, and went about doing good. You see, Solomon was anointed by man, but Jesus was anointed by God. Now, I don't ever expect to be anointed by a man on this earth or a king, but I want you to know, friends, that every one of you here this morning, every one of you can be anointed by the Holy Ghost and power this morning. You can be anointed by God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, something here that's very crucial is this, that Solomon and Jesus both were recognized as kings. 1 Kings 1:34 again, blow the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. Revelation 19:16, it says this, and on his robe and on his thigh was written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is king. Now, there's one thing I want you to remember about this, where Jesus is king. Remember this, Ecclesiastes 8:4, I didn't give you this one, I'm sorry. This is crucial. Get this up there if you can. Ecclesiastes 8:4 in the King James. It says, where the word of a king is, there is power. I want you to remember that. Where the word of a king is, there is power. We see these examples in the Word of God. Where in Matthew chapter 4, the disciples are on a boat and they're afraid. Jesus is sleeping. And they're afraid, and they're crying out they were going to die. And the storm arises, and Jesus comes onto the deck of the boat and says three small words, peace, be still. Why? Because of the spoken word of a king. Now, first of all, let me ask you this. Where did the storm come from? The storm didn't come from God. The storm didn't come from Jesus. The storm didn't come from the Holy Ghost. But the storm came from the prince and the power of the air. And if you research the Word of God, we find that in Ephesians chapter 1 that the devil is described as the prince and the power of the air. But remember this, he's only a prince. Jesus is the king. And a king has more authority than a prince. You just missed your chance to shout right there. Come on. The king has more authority than a prince. And Jesus said, peace, be still. Oh, yes, the prince may have caused a storm, but the king can stop the storm. Amen. Look at the story of Lazarus. And Lazarus in John chapter 11, Lazarus is dead. Martha and Jesus comes on the scene. Martha approaches him. Oh, Jesus, if you would have been here sooner, he would not have died. He's been dead now for 4 days. He wouldn't have died. But you see, Martha didn't realize who she was talking to. Martha didn't realize she's talking to the king. And Jesus said, where have you laid him? You got to understand something, Martha. I'm paraphrasing. I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. Though he were dead, because he lives in me and believes in me, yet shall he live. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. But Lazarus is dead. The prince and the power of the air may cause storms. He may cause death. But let me tell you something. The king comes on the scene. And the king has more authority than a prince. Somebody shout amen. And Jesus comes on the scene. Where have they laid him? Boys, roll the stone away. And Jesus shouts. He shouts out, Lazarus, three words, Lazarus, come forth. Now, the Bible doesn't say whether he walked out, crawled out, or rolled out. It just says that he came out alive because of the spoken word of a king. Where the word of a king is, there is power. There's power. When Jesus speaks, listen to me, the authoritative name and power of Jesus, when Jesus speaks, there is none greater than Jesus. He is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God. All power is given unto his glorious and powerful name, and there will never, ever be another one like him. Hallelujah. Jesus is going to speak again someday. It hasn't happened yet, but it will very, very soon. Because I believe with all my heart that we're in the end time. We're in the last and we're in the closing days of time. For the Bible says that the trump shall sound and gravity will lose its hold. And that Jesus is going to come back with a shout command. Now, where is that shout command found in the Word of God? Revelation 4, verse 1. Jesus is going to shout out, come up hither. He said, peace be still. Lazarus, come forth. Come up hither. And church, one of these graves, one of these days, the grave is going to open up and we're out of here. Ain't no, like she's saying earlier, there ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Come on. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Hallelujah. We're out of here. What's holding you down right now? Gravity. But one day, gravity will lose its hold and we're out of here. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, at the shout command of Jesus, come up hither, and shoom, we're out of here. Glory to God. I mean, now yard mowing season is upon us now, very, very soon. One day I was mowing my yard, and I was driving my zero-turn lawnmower that I give God praise for all the time, and I'm looking up in the sky, and I'm thinking, maybe today will be the day that Jesus comes back for us. And let me ask you this question. When's the last time you woke up? When's the last time you looked up and said, Lord, will today be the day you come back? When's the last time you just began to look and began to listen for the trumpet call of our deliverer? For you see, the Word of God tells us that Jesus is coming for a church that's looking for his soon return. Are you expecting him to come back? Are you ready for him to come back? Because I know this, when he does come, I'm gone. I've been called a lot of things in my lifetime, but on that day, you can call me gone. Come on, church. Amen. I'm out of here. And I love witnessing so much everywhere that I go, hotels, Walmart, wherever I go, gym, wherever I go, I'm always witnessing about Jesus. And on that rapture day, when that event occurs, when we get raptured, I'm liable to just grab a sinner with this hand and a sinner by this hand, and I'm gonna be raptured. And I say, now, do y'all get saved or do I let go? Come on, somebody, amen. But guess what? It ain't going to happen like that. Either you're ready or you're not. Either you're ready or you're not. And there may be one here this morning under the sound of my voice that you're not saved, you're not born again. Maybe you once were saved many, many years ago, but now you've been messing around. You've been playing around with the things of the world. You've been looking at some things and doing some things that you know it's not pleasing in the eyes of God. You know it's not. And you need to come clean with God this morning. Now, I'm not quite done yet, so how many will give me about 5 more minutes? How many will give me 5 more minutes? Just 5 more minutes, okay? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, so I'm good. Okay. I'm good to go here. Amen. Jesus can speak on your behalf as well. He can speak on your behalf. Just as he spoke and said, peace be still. Just as he said, Lazarus, come forth. Just as he's going to say, come up hither. He can also speak on your behalf. Because where the word of the king is, there is power. The prince may have caused a storm in your life. The prince may have caused a storm in your family. The prince may have caused a storm in your finances. He may have caused a storm in your mental, emotional state. He may be causing a storm in America. But let me tell you something. The king can speak and the king can stop the storm. The word of God says in Matthew 4:23 that he went about healing all manner of diseases and all manner of sicknesses among the people. He can still do that today. I still believe that Jesus is still in the healing business today. Amen. And to confirm that, in our last revival, this happened just last Wednesday night. I've already shared this last night. I'm going to be repetition for those who weren't here last night. But in our last revival, this little lady came to this revival every service in her early 80s. Several years ago, she was stricken by a spinal disease that left her paralyzed on her left side. She couldn't walk without assistance. She couldn't walk for 5 years. She came to the service. She came to every revival. She came to 5 services in a row. Don't tell me you can't come. Come on, somebody. If this crippled lady can make it, you can too. I can't get there on time. Don't tell me that. Hey, I live an hour and a half away, and I was 30 minutes early. Come on, somebody. You can be on time if you want to be. So this lady came. The revival is over, but the spirit of healing is still flowing in that service. We're in the foyer visiting. We're talking amongst ourselves. Here she comes, walking unassisted to me. Look, Brother Carter, look what I can do. I can walk. This is the first time I've been able to walk in 5 years without assistance. God healed her. I put that on Facebook to share with the world that Jesus is still our healer. Very quickly, while you're in your chairs in a sanctuary that's comfortable, comfortable chairs, comfortable lighting, comfortable temperatures, and you're sitting in your chair, and you're here this morning, and you're saying, Brother Carter, I need a touch from God. I need the King to speak on my behalf. I'm going through a storm in my life. And listen, maybe you haven't shared that with anybody else, but God knows all about it. God knows all about it. You don't need to share it with me. You don't need to share it with Pastor Chad. You don't need to share it with Pastor Emily. But let me tell you something. All you need to do is just share it with God. That's all that matters. And just cry out. And listen, if Jonah can cry out from the belly of that fish in the darkness of all dark, and come on, somebody. And if God heard his prayer, he will hear your prayer as well. Maybe you have drifted from God. You're no longer serving him as you should. Listen, this is crucial. You must be born again. You must be sold out to God. You must be saved, because if you're not saved, you're not going to make it. Don't let the devil confuse you that you must be saved. If you're not saved, I'm going to be very blunt as an evangelist, because listen, I'm gone after today. If you're not saved, you're not going to make it. You got to be saved. You got to be born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. And we want to encourage, and I'm saying this in love, that with all sincerity, that I want to encourage you to come and give your life to Christ. And we want you to do this publicly this morning. So now, why do we do it publicly? Because Christ died publicly for you. And the Word of God says, Jesus said that if you're ashamed of me in this adulterous and sinful generation, I will also be ashamed of you before my Father and his holy angels. I'll be ashamed of you. I don't want God to be ashamed of me. I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on, somebody, because I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer is alive, and he loves me, and he loves you as well. I'm going to ask for a response right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around all over this building. And I want just Pastor Emily to come and play something softly. I want the rest of the worship team to stay back, just her only. Just begin to play something softly, Pastor Emily, whatever you feel led to play. But I want to ask a question, first of all. You're here this morning, and maybe you once were saved, but you're not living for him as you should. Maybe you have never been born again, and you need to give your life to Christ this morning. You can do that too. This is so crucial. This is very, very important. I want to ask right now, if you would, take a step of faith with me. Say, Brother Carter, I need to give my life. I need to totally be sold out to Jesus. I need to get rid of all this stuff in my life right now. I need to live for God. If that's you, lift up your hand right now all over the building. Lift it up. 6 hands, Pastor. 6 hands have gone up. 7 hands. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Somebody else, God's speaking to you. You need to get right with God. Lift it up. Lift it up quickly. Put it right back down. Someone else. Someone else. Someone else. Someone else. Thank you. Someone else. Listen, Don't let the devil fool you. 8 hands. Don't let the devil fool you. Don't let the devil trick you. You may put your hands down. Don't let the devil trick you. If you sense it, that's God tugging on your heart's door. One more time. If you've already lifted your hand, that's okay. Somebody else, lift it up. As God speaks to your heart, thank you. Someone else. Someone else. Now, let me ask another. Thank you so much in the back. That's 10 hands, Pastor. 10 hands went up. Let me ask you another question. You're here this morning and you're going through a storm. Hey, Brother Carter, I need a healing. I need a healing in my body. I need a healing in my finances. I need a healing in my family. There's a multitude of healings. There's a multitude of things that we can go to God for Him to touch us with. If you're going through something right now that you the devil's been attacking you, maybe it's prescription drugs or whatever it could be. I don't know. There's a lot of things. Your marriage, whatever it might be. Brother Carter, I need for the King to speak on my behalf. I need the King to speak on my behalf, to calm my storm and to give me victory. We sing it earlier, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. If that's you, lift up your hand all over the building. Several hands are going up all over this building. Several hands are going up. Many hands, Pastor, too many to count. Put your hands down, please. All over the building, please. Everybody standing all over the building, please. Thank you, Jesus. As she continues to play softly, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want all eyes looking at me right now. I want all eyes looking at me. Pastor Chad, can you hold the microphone, please? Just hold it right here. I want to close with this illustration. You see, the Word of God says, Jesus said, you can have a seat, sir. It's going to be just a little bit. Jesus said, the King said, that I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's what the King said. That's what the King said. And it doesn't matter when you come into God's house, when you come believing and trusting, don't let the devil crush the idea that you can't be healed, because you can be healed. Don't let him put negative thoughts in your mind and in your spirit that I can't do, that God can't do this, because nothing is impossible with God. And when you come to him, don't let the devil trick you in trying to crush your mental abilities in that this cannot be done, because it can be done. But when you come into God's house and you come believing and you come expecting for God to do great things, and you know that with him that nothing is impossible with him, and you know that in him there's power and there's victory in the name of the Lord, and that in him all things are possible. And when you come with a heart of expectancy, that in the Word of God, that God is faithful, that God is true, that he can do all things, and that nothing is impossible with him, and you stand on his word, and you stand on his promises, that God is all powerful and that his name is all powerful. Come on, somebody. When you do that, you can stand on the Word of God. You can stand firm in faith, believing that with God, all things are possible. Come on, church. Hallelujah. All things are possible to them who believe that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Now, someone confronted me one time. They said, Brother Carter, how heavy are you? Those cups are easy. They'll hold you. But let me tell you something. I had a much larger pastor stand on this one time before. It'll hold a lot of weight. I had my kids. I carried them piggyback. It'll hold them as well. That's how sturdy this foundation is. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. This, without hesitation, we're not going to do it, but without hesitation, I know it would hold Pastor Chad as well. No problem. But my point is this. Many hands went up that you're needing a healing. About 10 hands went up that you need to get right with God. God can meet you. And I'm saying this with all sincerity, church. I'm saying this with all sincerity, that no matter what it is, salvation, healing, finances, whatever it is, nothing is impossible with God. And all you got to do is just cry out to him. What's the example? Jonah in the fish, he cried out. What? And listen, we don't have to pray some long, extravagant, theological, deep prayer to meet with God. The ultimate example, Pastor Chad is a thief on the cross. Jesus is dying. There's thieves on both sides. One thief said, Lord, Remember me when you enter your kingdom. Simple, short, right to the point. Remember me when you enter your kingdom. What did Jesus say? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Today. Amen. So I want to ask you to take a step of faith with me right now. All of you that raised your hand, maybe you did not raise your hand, but I want to ask you right now to step out by faith. Maybe you don't want to come by yourself. That's okay. Ask your neighbor, say, will you come go with me? I want to go up to the front. I want to get right with God. You raise your hand. You raise your hand. You need a healing in your body. Come quickly right now. Come on. 1, 2, 3. Come right now. Come on right now. Don't hesitate. Don't let the devil trick you. Don't let the devil fool you. Come right now. Just spread out all across this altar area. Facing me. Facing me. Spread out all across this altar area. Come on quickly. There's others that need to be coming. Come on quickly. Don't let the devil trick you. Don't let the devil trick you. Come quickly right now. Come quickly right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Devil, I bind you in Jesus' name. You cannot get the victory in this place. Thank you, Jesus. 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 I want to tell you something right now, church. Listen to me. The devil is a liar. If you're still at your seat and you need to be up here, the devil is out to rob and to kill and to destroy you. The devil hates you. He hates you. He wants to drag you to a devil's hell this morning. Drag you to a devil. He would love to utterly destroy you. But let me tell you something. Our King is greater. Come on now. Because Jesus is Lord. He wants you to be in heaven. He loves you. Come on. I'm going to wait one more minute. The choice is up to you. I'm watching the clock. I'm going to give you one more minute to get up here. One more minute. It's your choice. It's your choice. God or the devil, heaven or hell. It's your choice. It's your choice. Your blood is on your hands. And when you stand before Christ, you cannot say, God, I didn't know, because evangelist Terry Carter told you this morning. You know better. Don't let the devil destroy you. Come right now. I'm going to wait 30 more seconds. It's your choice. Come on. Heaven or hell, God or the devil. It's your choice. Come on. Come on. Quickly now. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Come on. Come to Jesus. Don't wait. Others are coming. Come on. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Come on, young person. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. I'm going to ask now for you to pray with me. I want to ask you to pray with me now. Those of you that raised your hand and said, Brother Carter, I need to get my life right with God. I need to be born again. I need to be saved. I need to ask Jesus into my heart. Maybe you once were saved, but you're saying, Brother Carter, I need to come back to God. I need to make my life clean before God this morning. I need to come clean. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Those of you in the sanctuary, I want you to pray it out loud with me. Those of you that have been saved, maybe you've been saved for 65 years. That's great. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Help them pray this prayer. Everybody, bow your head, close your eyes, and pray this out loud. Say this with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you now in faith believing, and I ask you, God, to save me, to cleanse me, to touch me. Forgive me, Lord. I've made some mistakes. I've done many things wrong. But I ask you now to come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord, be my Savior. Jesus, I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, give them a big, God bless you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I want those of you that prayed that prayer and really meant it to look at me right now. I want you to look at me just for a second, very quickly. Listen, this just thrills my spirit, Pastor. It just thrills my spirit, Pastor Emily. I'm just so thrilled right now. But let me tell you something. If you prayed that prayer and really meant it, they sang about it earlier, that there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. It's yours now. Watch this. In the Bible, listen, I have read Revelation. I have preached through Revelation verse by verse 3 times. I know what I'm talking about. There's a huge book in heaven. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know how big the book is, but it's a massive book. And everybody whose name has, who has Christ as their Savior, their name is now written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me ask you, wait a minute. Sir, what is your name?
Travis.
Travis what?
Miller.
Travis Miller. Come on. Right now, a name was written down, Travis Miller, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on, somebody. Somebody better shout. Come on, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And one of these days, not an angel, not a prophet, not anybody else, but Jesus himself is going to go through that book on that great judgment day. And if your name is not written down, first of all, if your name is there, he's going to say, Travis, enter into the glories of heaven. You have just received eternal life. Amen. But if your name is not there, maybe you didn't come up here. Listen to me. You didn't come? He's going to look through that book. If your name is not there, he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And you'll go instantly from the presence of God into outer eternal darkness and pain and suffering forever and ever. Pain of all pains, suffering of all suffering. I'm not taking this out of context. Hell of all hells. It's a place, if you study the Word of God, it's a place where demons don't want to be. The demon said, cast us into the pigs. Don't send us to Hades. They'd rather be inside pigs than go to hell. Come on. And so, if you didn't pray that prayer, I pray that God will touch you. I pray that you get so miserable, you can't sleep, you can't eat, you can't even function until you get right. And you call this pastor and say, Pastor Chad, I didn't go, but I got to talk to you. I need prayer. I got to get right with God. But oh, I'm just rejoicing. The glow of God's all over you. What is your name?
Allie.
Allie Call. Allie Call. Name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on, give God praise. And the Bible says that the angels in heaven, according to Revelation chapter 5, there's thousands, 1,000, 10,000 times 10,000, and they're all rejoicing because there's a new name written down in glory. Let's rejoice with the angels. Come on, one more time. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But now, wait a minute. We're not quite done yet. Many came for a healing as well. Many came for a healing. If you need a healing of any type, lift up your hand real quick, all over the building. You need a healing of any type. Hands going up all across the sanctuary. You need a healing. I want you to look at me. I want you to look at me. Listen to me. We don't say this lightly because this is scriptural. By his stripes, we are healed. Now, wait a minute. Let's go a little deeper than that. I've done intense research. It's extensive research on the crucifixion process of Christ. I've done in-depth study on it. I'm a deep study person. And when it says by his stripes, you have no idea how bad that was. Because when they whipped him with that whip, there was bone and there was metal tied to the end of each leather strap. And every time that Roman soldier, I'm not talking about some wimp, I'm talking about a man that's built and made for a battle, period. This man took the whip and would whip him. And hit him. And every time that whip would hit him, they would pull flesh from his body because of the bone and the metal on the whip. Isaiah tells us that he was beaten so badly that you couldn't even tell who he was. Scholars tell us that he was beaten so badly that you could see the bones in his back. That's how bad he was beaten and torn. The flesh ripped from his body. Not only once, not only twice, but 39 times. Bam! Ripping the hide from his body. So by his stripes, you better believe it was intense stripes. You are healed. Whatever your need is, I want you to reach out to me right now. No, the healing's not in me. Reach out to me. The healing's not in me, but the healing's in Jesus. Jesus is our healer. He can do what no other power can do. And right now, whatever your need is, right now, give it to Jesus. Lord, speak it to him out loud. Say, Lord, I need this in my body. I need this touch in my life. Right now, reach it out to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. And I command, and I say this in the name and through the authority of God's word, through the authority of God's word and the blood of the cross, I proclaim, be healed now in Jesus' name. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Devil, you're a liar. You cannot rob us of our healing. You cannot rob us of our victory. You cannot rob us of what God's doing in this sanctuary right now. And God, we give it to you, Lord, in the powerful and the glorious name of Jesus, the name above all names. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Receive your healing. Receive your touch. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Where the word of the king is, there's power. Where the word of the king is, there's power. And all over the sanctuary, all across this altar area, God, speak your word. Speak your word on their behalf. Heal them, I pray, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Now, to proclaim and to acknowledge that we have been healed, I want all of you, everybody, lift up both hands all across the sanctuary in the altar area. Lift up both hands and give God praise. Come on, from the depth of your soul, praise. I just sense that God's doing something in this place. I sense it. I feel it. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Listen, don't hold back those tears. Tears are the language of heaven. Go ahead and just cry out to him. Give it all to Jesus right now. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God. Thank you, Jesus.
Show me how.
One more thing. I'm going to say one more thing. And then I'm going to let Pastor Jack can close any way he wants to. Listen to me, church. I've been doing this a long time. I know what I'm talking about. We're experiencing and we're in the presence of the divine king right now. But when you walk out those doors, let me tell you something. The devil is going to try to trick you. He's going to try to get into your mind. He's going to try to get into your spirit that wasn't real. That wouldn't really take place. You're not saved. You're not healed. But let me tell you something. When that happens, watch me, y'all. Watch me. When that happens, you stand on the word of God and say, devil, by his, I am healed. Stand on the word, church. Stand on the word. Don't listen to me. Don't stand on Terry Carter. Don't stand on Chad Banfield. Stand on the word. Don't stand on the assemblies of God. Stand on the word. The word is the infallible, authoritative rule of faith and conduct, and it will last for time and eternity. Somebody give God praise in the house of God. Come on, somebody. Shout. Come on, somebody. Shout praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, Pastor.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, I don't know about you, but I came to worship the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I came to meet with the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Do you love him? Are
yes.
you hungry for him?
Hallelujah.
Can we just give him praise?
Hallelujah.
Lord, this is all about you. This is all about you. But Lord, I'm so excited because you're the one who saves us. You're the one who heals us. We just continue to run after you. We thank you, Lord, for your touch. We thank you for your anointing. And God, we know that you're able to do anything. You're able to do all things. And so God, would you just continue to move in our hearts, move in our minds, move in our bodies, move in our families, move in this church, move in the ministries of this church, move in this community, move in our schools, move in the courthouse, move in the market, move everywhere, Holy Spirit. Move through us. We're yours. We're yours. God, we love you. We thank you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. We're so delighted to be yours, God. You're so good. Now continue to do, continue to burn inside of us, God. Continue to burn a passion for your name. Lord, would you speak to your servants? Would you speak to your people? Whisper to them. Let us hear your voice. Let us seek you in your word. Let us seek you in prayer. And Lord, let us share our faith with someone else and point them to Jesus and point them to you. What a joy it is to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you're going, as you're heading back to your seat, if you gave your heart to Christ today, I want to ask you to do something. I have a book I want to give to you. If you need a Bible, I have a Bible that you can have in addition. Okay? But I want you to go through this book if you gave your life to Jesus today. Doesn't matter how old you are. Okay? I want you to take that, and I want to, maybe we can have some folks, some other church family help you to be discipled and to walk through that book, okay? So why don't you come and find me after service, and if that was you, I want to make that available to you. Hey, we're so excited. Tell us about how God moved in your heart and or your body, and praise God with one another, okay? And Evangelist, he'll be at the back. Don't forget a prayer card. He showed those to you earlier. Come back tonight. Service is at what time? 6 o'clock. It wasn't because I didn't know. I was just... Lord bless you.
This is what we couldn't figure out where this went.